This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
This morning, it will be taken from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read just two verses of scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll read verses 17 and verses 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and verse 18. And what we're looking at this morning is this subject of growing in grace. We're taking a little break from the Beatitudes because this coming Thursday is a prayer meeting, so there wouldn't be any need to speak on the Beatitudes, and then we can't study it in depth on Thursday. So I'm using this to bridge that gap, that is growing in grace. And then hopefully next Sunday we would take the last one before we go into our month of evangelism. So 2 Peter chapter 3, I'll read verse 17 and verse 18. The Bible says this, it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand," he says, "beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked." And verse 18, that's the emphasis where we're looking at this morning. He says, "But grow," and look at what he tells us to grow. "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He says, "To him be the glory both now and forever." And Lord, we ask that you bless this portion that we've read. As we explore the scriptures further, we ask for insight, we ask for understanding, that indeed we will not just read it, but will receive all that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the subject before us this morning, we're going to consider for a few minutes, is the subject of growing in grace. Growing in grace. There's a scripture also in the book of 2 Peter, because I think that this subject of growing or growth is very, very important to Peter as he writes. Because in his book, I think he did mention something about as newborn babes. He tells us, he says, "Desire the sincere milk of the word of God." And then he says that you may grow thereby. A very familiar scripture that we know. "Desire the sincere milk," he says, "of the word of God, that you may grow thereby." And I think that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. So for us as Christians, it is God's expectation for us that we grow as Christians, not just from the time that we've given our hearts to the Lord, or maybe after 10 years that we've been Christians, or 20 years that we've been saved or born again, but there ought to be that continual growth in our walk and in our as we walk with Jesus Christ. If you remember in the book of John, chapter 1, the Bible tells us clearly from verses 12 there that as many as have received him, to them he gave the power to become not just sons of the kingdom, but children or sons of God. So what happens in the new birth is that God is like plants a seed in our hearts. And also in the natural, in the same way that when you plant a seed, that seed is expected to grow and become something. So also what we have received from God, which is that word of God that have changed our hearts, God is saying to us, something has happened. Now I expect you to grow, as Peter puts it, in grace. And I think that this is really what separates the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from religion, as some may put it. Because what you have in religion is just man's effort to reach up to God. He tries, he struggles, he does everything he can, looking for a way maybe to connect with God. But what God does in salvation is that this is like God coming down to man and making us new creations. And that's why in that song we were singing, "I am a new creation, no longer in condemnation," we are rejoicing in the fact that God had done something in our lives. And because he has done that by his grace, he's now saying to us, now grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can't separate, take grace away right from the beginning when we got saved. And you also can't take grace away right through the whole process of our walking or our relating with Jesus Christ. But when you look at that verse of scripture in verse 18 that says, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ," it says, "To him be the glory both now and forever. And so the question that you might be asking, or that we should be answering, is what is growth in grace? There have been lots of interpretations to what it means for a Christian to grow in grace. And there have been others who have maybe somehow disagreed with what it means. But we just want to look at what it simply means for us this morning. Because I want to grow in grace. The pastor who maybe has been a pastor for 20 or 30 years is still growing in the grace and in the knowledge of God. And in the same thing way, you as well, whether you've just given your heart to the Lord, or maybe you've just known him for 5 years, or you've just known him for a year or a few months, there is that expectation for you and God that wants you to grow. But like I've said, you need to know what it means to grow in grace. But before we see what it is, let us answer first of all what it is not, what growing in grace is not. Now, when we talk about a Christian growing in grace, we are not saying that it is not becoming more saved than at the moment of salvation. Because remember, the moment you gave your heart to the Lord, you have been saved. Something has happened. So when we are saying grow in grace, we are not saying that you're becoming more saved than at the moment that you gave your heart to the Lord. Because actually, like you said, like we are saying, or we are seeing from the scripture, there is nothing you can add to your salvation. You did not come to know Jesus Christ by your own works. You came to know him because something happened to your heart. A seed was sown, and that is the word of God. And by faith you trusted him, and something happened. So when God is saying, grow in grace, it is not becoming more saved. Actually, you can become more saved than you are now if you've truly given your heart to the Lord. And also, what it is not, what growing in grace is not, is not becoming maybe more pardoned or forgiven of your sins. Because some look at it and say, the Bible calls us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so they may look at it this way, that if we are growing, it's like God is forgiving us more and more and pardoning of our sins. But that's not what the scripture is saying. You cannot be more pardoned than when he had already been pardoned at the time that you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there is an ongoing confession of sin that we do when we sin against him, when we fall into sin, and God comes to us, or we come to him, cleanses us, restores us, and we carry on walking with him. So it's not becoming more pardoned than when you got converted. That's not what growing in grace is all about. And also, this is very important, what is not, again, is not becoming maybe more justified than at the first time that you gave your life to Jesus. So those are the three things that are running through it. Not becoming more saved at the time of your conversion. Not becoming more pardoned at the time of your conversion, because we want to get back to the root and then we can trace it up. And also, it is not becoming more justified at the time of salvation. Remember, justification talks about acquittal. You deserve the penalty, but Jesus Christ paid the price on your behalf. And he's not going to pay it all over again. It's already been done. And so when he's calling us to grow in grace, all he's saying, as we are going to be seeing, is that it has a different implication. Not that you're going to be justified all over again, but something has happened, and all he's saying is take advantage of what has happened and then build upon that. I'm going to give us this definition, and this is by a popular man. We know some of us may have read some of his books, Jesse Riley, and then it's a good way to start. And I love the way he defines growing in grace, or Christian growth in general. And this is what he says. He says, when I speak of growing as a Christian, he says, I mean increase in the degree, size, strength, vigor, and power of the graces which the Holy Spirit plants in the believer's heart. And you can see how he approached it, that when you talk about growth, he's talking about an increase. So that word increase is very, very important. Just like when a baby is born, from the time the baby is born until the time the baby maybe becomes a man, gets married, moves out of the home, you see that there is an increase. Increase in knowledge, increase, changes in the behavioral pattern, changes in what the baby eats. All you notice is it has an increase. Now, if there isn't that increase, it's an indication that something is wrong, and we all get worried. The baby isn't growing. There's no increase. Maybe the baby has been a few pounds in weight, and it still remained the same. So it's something that bothers us in the natural. So we need to understand that when we are talking about growing in grace, that is exactly what we are getting at when he says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what you knew when you gave your life to Christ is not what you know now. For those that have been Christians maybe for a very long time, you will agree with me that there has been growth. There has been an increase in the knowledge. Maybe you didn't quite understand God's forgiveness as much as you should, but now you understand it a lot better. Maybe you didn't quite understand what it meant for you to go out and witness and evangelize and talk to people or share your faith. But as time went on, you now understand more what it means. Maybe you didn't quite understand the subject of faith and what it means to trust God for every aspect of your life and being. But now you can see you're becoming more reliant upon Him. Your fears are more or less like you're resting them at the feet of Jesus. And you can trace your way back and you can say, truly, I have grown. So if there isn't that growth, that significant increase in our walk with God in terms of the size, the strength, the vigor, the power of those graces that the Holy Spirit implants in our heart, then we need to be asking ourselves that question, that are we growing? We know that some of us who are into gardening, we can take examples from the world of gardening as well. Maybe you wake up in the morning, you walk into your back garden and you look at the things that you've planted or the seeds that you've sown, and you can agree, you can see it. There's growth, there's increase, it's blossoming, something is happening. And if you go out every single day, you can see an evidence of growth. I'm sure that some of us will be quite worried that nothing is happening. And that in the same way that we have that expectation in the natural, God also have got that expectation of us in the realm of the spirit. And when we go into the Bible, we are going to see like evidences of growth in men. Because what God does is that He shows us examples from the scriptures just to tell us that this is exactly what I want you to be or what I want you to see as an evidence of growth. A good example we have is a man, Peter. We're not going to read the scriptures because of our time. But Peter was a man that you all will agree with me, that Peter went from backsliding to becoming a man whom God used mightily on the day of Pentecost to preach one of the best sermons that was ever preached. And 5,000, as the scripture says, gave their heart to the Lord. Now you can see a man that had grown from denying the Lord his Savior, from being cowardly, not able to stand even when he was confronted by a little girl and asked him, said, you must be one of them. Peter denied because he was afraid. But that same Peter on the day of Pentecost, you can see growth in grace. The Holy Spirit had done something in his life and he stood and preached. And that is a classic example for us of growth. What about Paul? Paul that we know in the Bible, who went from being Saul of Tarsus to being the Paul that we know. You also see evidence and signs of growth. From persecuting Christians, he gave his heart to the Lord. He didn't stop there. He moved from there, started his missionary journeys. God used him extensively, not just to preach, to get souls saved, but we also see how he trusted God. That even while he was in prison, he still knew that God would come true for him. And he was able to sing in his dark hour. And you can see that is an evidence and a sign of growth, not just in the degree, in the size, in the strength, in the vigor, but also in the power that of the graces that the Holy Spirit had put upon him. We also can talk about John that we see in the Bible, one of the disciples. We know him from being the son of thunder, as the scripture says, to becoming the disciple of love. And that's quite a sharp contrast. If you look at their lives of disciples, some of them weren't as gentle as you would expect, but then you see how God walked through their lives, how God touched them, how God broke them, how God made them to become men whom he used to preach his love to a lost and a dying world. Now, as we consider this subject of growth, it's very important also, not just that we are looking at these examples that we have before us, not just from the natural and also from the scripture, but to ask ourselves, but what are the evidences? What can I see to truly show that I'm growing? It's one thing for the Bible to call us, as we've seen in the scripture, where it says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a call, it's a command. That is what we are supposed to do. But how can I, as a Christian, know that I'm truly growing? What are the evidences? Are there things that I can see? Because like I said, it's one thing for you to say, you've given your heart to the Lord, you've known him for 10 years, but can people looking at you, can those who live around you see something that is an indication that truly there's growth taking place in the house. I've got Daniel and Michael. If you come to me and ask me, are these boys truly growing? I've got an evidence. And the evidence is I can take you into the garage and bring out about 2-3 boxes of their clothes. They've actually completely outgrown in a space of how many years that Daniel has been alive now. And that is a sure sign that this boy is growing. Though I can see it, sometimes you look at them and you're wondering, but when is this growth taking place? You can't see it, you can't measure it. But then something is happening. There is an evidence. You can see his shoe size changing. You can see his feet shooting out. You can see him when he stands on the scale. You can see that he's put on some weight. Yesterday he jumped on the scale. He said he wanted to weigh himself. And I think he weighed roughly about how many kg, if I can remember now. I can't remember the exact figure. But there was a change from what he used to weigh, from what he weighs now. And so that is an evidence. And so also for us, when the Bible says grow in grace and the knowledge, what are the evidences of growth that truly can point to the fact that we are growing? And the first one I'm going to show us, if you go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to see a scripture there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to see what the scripture tells us there. And these are one of the things that you will see. And that's the first thing we want to consider in 1 Thessalonians 3. Look at verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And it says, and may the Lord make you, and you see that word again, increase and abound in love to one another and to all. It says, just as we do. So the first evidence of growth in grace as you walk with the Lord is an increase of love. And that's why when Paul was writing to the Thessalonian Christians, he said it clearly to them, and may the Lord, this is the increase we are talking about here, increase and abound, make you, because he says it's God that does this work in your life, make you to increase and to abound, and he says to love one another and to all, he says just as we do. In other words, he was saying to them, something is happening to us. As Paul the apostle, I am growing. My love for the church is growing. My love for those who maybe have wronged me is growing. And he's saying, in the same way that is happening, I want that to happen to you as well. Another great scripture, if you go to flip to chapter 4 of that same 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 4, still within the same book, and look at verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9 says, but concerning brotherly love, it says, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God. It says, to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, look at the next phrase there, that you increase more and more. In other words, this is a call to growth. He's saying, this is what it's about. It's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It is love that brought us in. And God is saying to us, an evidence to show that you are more like your heavenly father, you're becoming more like him, is when that love begins to radiate and to show through you. If you remember Jesus Christ, while he was speaking to his disciples, and we know this verse of scripture very well in John chapter 13. And I'm just going to read a verse of scripture. John chapter 13, look at verse 35. And Jesus Christ said it clearly to his disciples. And we all are his disciples. Look at verse 35 of John 13. He says, by this, he says, all will know that you are my disciples. How will they know that we are disciples? And a disciple is someone who is learning from his master and growing. He says, if you love, if you have love, one for another. He said, this is how we know. We don't have any other way of knowing. You might say, well, I'm growing. But then God is looking. Are you growing? Is there an increase in that love for the brethren? Love, even for those whom you find it difficult to embrace and to love in the body of Christ. And that is what God is saying. Is a sure sign that something is happening. That spirit that says, I forgive you because I love you, with the love of God in my heart. And God is saying, that is what he wants of us. If you remember when Paul also was writing to the Corinthian Christians, that popular chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, we know the whole chapter that talks about love. And it simply tells us that we are nothing without love. So love is a great place to start examining this subject, or to show us that this is the evidence for someone who is growing in grace. So what are the signs? You will say to yourself, or ask yourself that question, am I truly growing in my love towards the brethren, towards those on the outside, towards those whom God has brought me in contact with? If there isn't any love or an increase in your love for the brothers or for the sisters, then it shows that something is still lacking. Now, the second evidence that you see again, you find this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. That same book of 2 Thessalonians, but this is the second book, second part of it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and look at verse 3. And what you find is, we are talking about an increase in faith. Not just an increase in love, but there ought to be an increase in faith. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3. And this is what Paul says. He says, we are bound... I'm reading 2 Thessalonians, yes, chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. It says, because, look at what's growing. It says, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love, you see that, faith and love going hand in hand. And this is an evidence to show something is happening. They are truly growing the graces that God has imparted to them. And the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So you can't talk about love and not talk about faith, because they go hand in hand. So when you talk about the evidence, what can I see in my life? What can I see in your life? I'm not just talking about love for others, for the brothers or for the sisters in the body of Christ. I'm also talking about an increase in faith. And that's why he says that we are bound to give thanks always for you. He says, because, in other words, he's attesting to what is going on in their lives. He's saying, your faith is growing. And look at that description. He says, exceedingly. It's like Paul is standing and looking at them and seeing what their faith, what was happening to their faith. And sometimes when God looks at us as Christians, can God truly say that our faith is growing exceedingly? Instead of demonstrating that great faith and confidence in God, some Christians are more fearful as the day goes by. They can't even trust God for the basic needs of their life. They can't even believe that God can take care of them. When trouble comes, when persecution comes, you see how easy it is for them to be knocked down and shattered. But God is saying, this is the evidence. Your faith is growing. As one preacher put it, he says some Christians have what he calls kindergarten faith. And that shouldn't describe a Christian who has grown or who has come to know the Lord. And we know that isn't the right word for us. The word that should be used to describe us is that our faith grows exceedingly, an increase of faith. What else do we know? If you go with me now to the book of Colossians, we are going to see another verse of scripture in the book of Colossians. And there you see another evidence. And this is an increase of the knowledge of God. Go with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. And we're just going to read a verse of scripture there. Look at the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. And you can see Paul mentioning something else again. In verse 10, Paul says, this is speaking to them about the preeminence of Christ. He says that you may lead a life, he says, worthy of the Lord. And then he says, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. And look at the next phrase, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so you can see all the scriptures that we've looked at, where Paul is using that word increase, because that's what growth is all about. Growing in grace is all about. We're talking about strength, power, vigor, the size of it. And Paul is saying, not only are you growing in your love, not only are you growing in your faith, but you are also growing in your knowledge of God. In other words, you've come to a point where you can look at God and the dealings and how he has led you all these years. And you can truly say, you know what? My knowledge about God has deepened. Maybe God has humbled you in a way that is unique to your own experiences. Maybe God has revealed something about himself to you. Or maybe the more you come to the scriptures, you see that God is feeding your spirit and something is happening even through your situation as you go through them. God is revealing more of himself to you. There is that increase in the knowledge of God. And I think that this is the question we should be asking ourselves. I do ask myself that question as well. That do I know more about God now than when I first get saved? If you can answer that question convincingly, that truly now I think I know more about God now than when I first gave my life to Christ, then you can confidently say that you are growing in grace. If someone walks up to you and asks you maybe a few questions about the scripture, say, please, can you explain to me what does it mean that Jesus Christ died and on the cross and was buried and rose again for my sins? How does that get me saved? If you are a Christian, you should be able to answer that simple question. And that is an indication that you are growing in the knowledge. Because not just that, do you know that he died for you? You know that he was buried, he resurrected, and you fully understand how that dealt with or has dealt with your sin. So we are talking about the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God, who God is in himself. And that is an evidence to show that you are growing. And I think the last evidence I just want to give us quickly is found in the book of Philippians. If you go to the book of Philippians chapter 3, and we are going to see a scripture there in Philippians chapter 3, and I think that's verse 13 of the book of Philippians chapter 3. And we are going to see another evidence, and I think this one is something that we all should hold dear to our hearts. In Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3. It says there, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. This is Paul speaking. He says, but one thing I do. And what does he do? He says, forgetting those things which are behind. And then he says that he is now reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Forgetting those things which are behind. And that is what happens in the growth process. You've come to a point where whatever thing that has happened in your past, you're forgetting them. And you're constantly moving forward. There's that greater desire for holiness in life. To be conformed to the image of Christ. To get to know him as more. Look at verse 14 of that same chapter of Philippians chapter 3. And he says, I press towards the goal. You can see it's like an upward movement. He's not going back. He's not looking back. He's not thinking back. He's saying to himself, I have come to know him and I have to keep moving forward. Not only am I growing in my love, not only am I growing in my faith, not only am I growing in the knowledge of my God, but there is a greater desire to keep pressing on. And these are the signs that you see that shows that someone truly is growing in grace. If you can't say with Paul that you are forgetting everything behind you and you are reaching forward, actually, the graphic picture he paints for us is of a man who is straining to reach out to something. And that is what it should be for the Christian or for the man who is growing. You're stretching yourself. You're reaching out to grasp something. You know that you're not what you should be or everything that you should be. But you're saying to God, I know there is more. I know there are greater heights that I can attain. And you're reaching forward to it. And as I close, I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, and I'm going to close on that. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. And there you will see the means of the growth that we are talking about. It's not just that we're talking about the evidence. It's good for us to see the means how this growth takes place. Every child that grows in a family, they eat, they feed on something, and that's what helps them to grow, to become who they ought to be. The parents instruct them. If you see them growing in their knowledge and understanding, parents do talk to them, instilling values, morals and things, and you can see that child growing and becoming what they ought to be. Now look at 1 Peter 2:2, and there you see the means of this growth that we are talking about. In verse 1, I'll start from verse 1. The Bible says there, therefore, laying aside all malice. In 1 Peter 2:1, it says, and all guile, you see what we are taking off? These are the things that God is saying should not be found in our lives. Hypocrisy, envy, and he says, and all evil speaking. And then look at verse 2. He likens us to babies. As newborn babes, You see that word desire? Desire the pure milk of the word of God. In other words, this is unadulterated. That you, he says, may grow thereby. So Peter is saying, growth is important, and that's why he's been writing about it all this while. And Paul as well, reinforcing the same thing, that you as a Christian, we ought to grow. And we can't come to a point where we claim that we've stopped growing. You know, in the natural, you get to a point, it's like you can't grow beyond that point. And then all you have is that downward spiral. You begin to go down until you get to the grave. But for us in Christ Jesus, there isn't that downward spiral that you have. We can grow, even up to the old age, even on your sick bed, while you are about to leave this life and to cross over to the next, to the other, God can still expect you to know something more about Him. When I read the stories and the life history of great men of God, whom even while on their sick bed, God revealed more of Himself to them. The words they spoke, the letters they wrote, while in prison, God still used them. And you can see they were still growing, even to the very end. And Peter is saying to us, this is the means of that growth. Desire the pure milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. He's not saying desire something else. And sometimes this is where the problem is, even for the Christian. Because we've come to a point where our appetite for the word of God is not as strong as it should be. And this is why some Christians aren't even growing. Their knowledge of God is defective, not because God is not willing to reveal Himself to them, but they are not coming to the scriptures. They rather have something else, entertainment, in place of the word of God. And that is why God is calling us to love His word, to embrace it, to go into it, to read it, to open it. Remember the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, you will hear the psalmist constantly saying how he sought after the Lord, how he embraced the scriptures and tasted it. And he says it's like honeycomb to him. And that shows you his desire for the word of God. So one of the means that God uses is the word of God to help us and to grow. And there are other things that God can use as well. And for sometimes we don't like these ones, but this one I'm talking about now, but God does use it. Things like the troubles and the experiences that we go through in life. We would rather God use the word of His word to help us to grow. But you know that God can use the afflictions, the troubles that you go through, to help you to become whom He wants you to be. And that's when you look at the life of Paul, not only the word of God was the means through which God helped him to grow, to become what we see him in the scriptures, but God used the troubles that he went through. God used the experiences that he went through. God used the fellowship of the believers. You know, that's very important as we gather together every Sunday. God is using that to encourage us, to strengthen us. Even on Thursday when we are looking at the scriptures, we are studying together and people are sharing the experiences. Like this last Thursday, I mean, I saw something from a different perspective while Brian was sharing a part of his experience. And somehow my heart connected with what he was sharing, but I saw it in a completely different light as he was sharing that experience. And that is what happens. We learn together, we grow together, we strengthen each other together. And that is what God is saying to us. And that's why this is very important. I ought to grow. You ought to grow. And God is saying, without growth, you cannot become who He truly called you to be. Shall we bow our hearts as we once again just thank Him for a few seconds in our heart for making it possible for us to even be born, as the scripture says, of that incorruptible seed, and that is the word of God.
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.